Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you so very, very much. Today we're going to start a new series called Phobias. And we all know what phobias are. They're fear of something, and we're all afraid of different things. And today we're going to be looking at something that I think is a universal phobia. I really do, because I think it's part of our human DNA, and that's why all of us are subjected to it to a certain extent, and that's the fear of being alone, the fear of loneliness. And we go to great lengths to try to avoid that, and oftentimes they're very unhealthy things that we do to try to avoid it. So we're going to be looking at the scriptural understanding of how God wants to step in and help us overcome this fear of being alone, overcome the sense of loneliness. Loneliness is something that affects all of us. King David understood loneliness. King David felt it and ached from it. And so in one of the many hymns that he wrote, we now know it as Psalm 25, King David wrote this. He said, "Turn to me," and he's talking to God, "turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles." And may God add his blessing to the reading of the word. The poet John Shaw Nielsen called loneliness the first thing that God named as not good. And Billy Graham says that loneliness is, without a close second, man's greatest problem. And Mother Teresa said that it is far easier to fill an empty stomach than it is to fill an empty heart. And I think loneliness is something that we, all of us, struggle with, and all of us have that fear at one level or another of being alone. And I think to be lonely is to be aware of an emptiness which cries out to us to be filled. It's to be aware of an emptiness that clearly takes more than just people to fill, because that's usually how we try to fill that emptiness, is we go around people and we go to social things, and what we discover is that we're still lonely in the middle of a crowd. We can be very lonely even in the gathering of people we love or close to us. Friends, and we're still lonely. Family, and we're still lonely. It's because loneliness is to sense that there's something missing from your life, something that you're not quite certain what it is, something that you can't name, but certainly something that you feel, something you experience. And loneliness is a crippling condition that can truly suck the very life right out of us. Don't believe me? Just talk to the recently divorced mother of three as she spends her first Christmas without her husband, and because of visitation rights, without her children. She's achingly lonely. Just talk to the soldier who is stationed in Afghanistan as he learns that his wife is giving birth to their second child. He hurts. He's so lonely. Just talk to the man who recently buried his wife of 55 years. His pain is almost unbearable for him. Friends, many of us are dealing with large doses of loneliness. Although you'd never guess it from looking at us, right? Because we've all learned to play the game. We've all learned to put on that brave face and put on a smile. "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm great. Hey, how are you?" "Oh, wonderful. Thanks." While we mask how deeply we're really hurting. And if we would really answer that question honestly, "Hey, how are you doing?" So many times we would say, the pain is almost suffocating me, is how I'm doing. And I think this is one of the reasons that sad songs resonate with all of us, right? They kind of just strike a chord deep within us that maybe we're even trying to bury it from ourselves, but these sad songs reach out and touch that, and it's like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And that's how I can't let the world know how I feel, but I can sing this sad song. Many of you may not know it, but I am truly a huge fan of hardcore country music. Like, some of the modern stuff is great, like Brad Paisley, because he's kind of old school. But I like the hardcore stuff. I like the real old stuff. In fact, the one I like most of all, my very favorite country music artist, is Hank Williams. Now, Hank Williams Jr., Hank Williams, the real one, okay? Many of you know his tragic story. Hank was born into terrible poverty in Alabama. And then his father left his family high and dry when Hank was only 6 years old. And so his mother, to try to keep the kids alive and a roof over their heads, would run boarding houses. And so she would be constantly moving from boarding house to boarding house to boarding house. And Hank was born with a very painful spinal condition called spina bifida, which set him apart from all of the kids his age because he could not do any of the physical things that the other kids were doing. And because of that, he felt very separate from them. And because of that, and because his family was moving all the time, he never really had friends. He never really connected with anyone. And that loneliness inside this little boy was crippling him as badly as the spina bifida was. Well, as he grew to try to deal with this excruciating back pain and probably this loneliness too, Hank started to abuse alcohol. And then later, he started to abuse morphine as well, to the point where he died of a heart attack at the age of 29 years old in the back of his Cadillac. 29 years old, he died of a heart attack, which probably was brought on by too much alcohol and too much morphine. And as some of the titles of Hank's songs that he wrote, all his own songs, as some of the titles of the songs that he wrote suggest, loneliness and heartbreak and despair were a constant part of Hank's life. In 1948, he wrote what I think just might be the saddest song that I have ever heard. It's called "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry."
Hear that lonesome whipper will, he sounds to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never seen a night so long. silence of a falling star lights up a purple sky. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome I could cry. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Great job. Thank you so much. I went to these enormously talented, wonderful young men less than a week ago and said, hey, you know what? Could you do I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry? And I get kind of the dog cocked the head, you know? I was like, you don't know that song? It's by Hank Williams. Who's Hank Williams? I was like, oh, wow. So I'm proud to say I have introduced the classics to this younger generation. Nailed it, didn't they? Just, you can feel Hank's heart in that song, and they just did such a perfect job. I appreciate it so much. But friends, I think when we hear that and we hear that hurt, why do we feel that? Because it's kind of resonating with us, I think. Because have you ever felt that way? I mean, truly, you're so lonesome. Have you ever felt that way? Because I know I have. I have. And it's awful. It's suffocating. And so today I want to look at how do we deal with that? Where does that come from? And what can we do healthy? What can we do to try to deal with this? Well, I think first of all, really the most important thing we need to understand if we're going to deal with loneliness is to recognize that there are actually two levels of loneliness. And oftentimes, we human beings only recognize level two. And so we go straight to level two to try to fix level two loneliness. And it never works. Because unless we've already recognized and dealt with level one, we're not in a position where we can deal with level two. It's kind of like trying to build the second story of a house before you've built the ground floor. You can't do it. There's nothing to support it. And it's just going to collapse. So friends, in order to deal with loneliness, we need to recognize both of these levels. And we need to recognize until we deal with level one loneliness, we are not going to be able to deal with level two. So let's look at where loneliness comes from. Why do you and I experience loneliness? Right? Why all of us go, yep, I know exactly what that's like. Why is that a universal thing with human beings? And what is it? What causes it? Where does loneliness come from? Well, friends, here is something that the Bible shares with us that the world simply does not understand. And it's this, that loneliness isn't a human-to-human issue. Right? That is a manifestation of loneliness. But loneliness itself, the very foundation of it, is a spiritual issue. It's 100% a spiritual issue. Because stripped down to its very core, what is loneliness? Where does it come from? It comes from our separation from God. You see, when God made us, it's literally the way we were made. We make car engines to run on gasoline. That's how they're made. And when they don't have gasoline, they don't run properly. God made us to be completely one with Him. That's how we were created. That's how we are hardwired, to be one with God. And when we are not one with God, we're broken. There's something wrong, and that's what we're feeling, that emptiness, that haunting, what's wrong here? What's wrong is you're broken. What's wrong is you're not whole anymore because you're not what God created you to be. You're not one with God, okay? And so when we're not one with God, We don't have that intimacy that we need, literally need, to be whole and healthy. And so our very soul cries out, and we feel empty inside, and we long for that wholeness. But here's the thing, so many of us don't know what we're longing for. We don't understand what it is that's missing in our lives. And so we experience this loneliness, even if we're not aware, even if we don't believe in God. Okay? Much the same is we are still subjected to the law of gravity, whether we're aware of it or whether we believe in it or not. So if loneliness is caused from us being separated from God, which is what the Bible tells us, then we need to ask the question, so how did we get separated from God? See, God created us to be one, right? So every single one of us, when we were created, when we were knit together in our mother's womb by God, God made us one. And when we are born, we are completely one with God. But something happens that separates us from God. And it's not God's doing, okay? What separates us from God is choices that we make. We choose self over God. And whatever way you want to look, there's 10 million different ways we can choose self over God. But every single one of them result in a broken relationship with God. Because we try to take God's place. What's the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, right? God said, don't do that. And Adam and Eve chose self over God. And when they chose self over God, they broke that relationship with God. That's what happens. You and I break our relationship with God. He doesn't break his relationship with us. God is forever faithful. We break our relationship with God. We walk out on God. God never walks out on us. So what causes us to be separated from God? Our sins do, friends. Our sins cause us to separate ourselves from God. The Bible says this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will no longer hear. Your sins have separated you from God. They drive a wedge in between God and us. And the reason for it is very simple. God doesn't kick us out. Imagine, if you will, something, a completely perfect sphere, okay? Get in your mind, and I know probably physics says you can't, but for argument's sake, let's say you have a completely perfect sphere. God is completely perfect. God is completely pure. God is completely just. God is perfect. Now, if life and the way we are created to be is one with God, that means we have to be one with this completely perfect being. And as long as we're perfect, that's not a problem. But what happens when we're broken? What happens when we break our perfection by sinning? You see, we no longer can be part of God. Not God won't let us, we can't be. Because what happens to that perfect sphere if a little chip is taken out of it? If just a little bit of imperfection is made one with that perfect sphere, then the perfection of that sphere is gone. And so if God allows us to be made one with him when we're imperfect, then what happens to God's perfection? It's gone. So as long as we're imperfect, we cannot be made one with God, which means we're separate from God, which means we're lonely, which means we're empty and we're aching inside because we know that we are separate. We know that we are apart. And whether we even understand that that's apart from God doesn't matter. That's exactly what's happening. But here's the good news, friends, and listen, because this is very, very, very good news, is that our loneliness, God is more bothered by our loneliness than we are. God wants to fix our loneliness far more than we do. God wants to do something about that loneliness so we don't have to experience it anymore. See, God doesn't want to be separated from us. God knew that when we walked out on Him, which is what happens when we choose self over God, we walk out on God. God knew that when we walked out on Him, we were never going to be whole again. We were never going to be able to feel good about ourselves ever again. So God took it upon Himself to do something about that. God chose to enter into our world. God chose to leave His heaven behind. God chose to leave His glory behind and become a human being so that He could be with us. Right? When Jesus Christ, who is God, came into our world in human form, He came to be with us. That's why the biblical title for Jesus is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So God says, you separated yourself from me. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you, and I'm coming to fix what you broke. I'm coming to make whole what you destroyed with your sin. And the only way that God could do that was to take our sins upon Himself and bleed them out on the cross so they don't exist anymore. The consequences of the sins have been dealt with. God did that. God died to them, so they're gone now. God doesn't just forgive us. God takes our sins away from us. And when God takes our sins away from us, He is able to bring about atonement, right? You've heard that word? When you break down atonement into three kind of words, it says at one meant. That's what atonement means. God takes what was separate and makes it whole. That's the whole point, and that's the only way that we're ever going to deal with level one loneliness is to recognize we need Jesus Christ in our life. We need Jesus Christ to take our sins away from us, because as long as we have our sins, we're never going to be one with God. We have to have our sins taken away from us in order to be made one with God. And God loves us so much, that's exactly what Jesus does. He takes our sins away from us so that we can now be made one with God once again. All right? God became a human being to bring this about. The Bible says, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He, and we're talking about Jesus, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So the Bible says that although Jesus Christ is God, He chose to leave heaven behind, He chose to leave His glory behind, and He chose to come to earth as a human being so that He could be with us. So that He could heal what we broke with our sins, so He could restore that wholeness and banish loneliness from our life. It's only when we recognize that as long as we are apart from God, we're going to be lonely no matter what we do, no matter how many people are around us. We have to be made one with God first. And I know right now, some of you are thinking, well, Mike, you don't get it. You don't understand at all. I lost my wife. I lost my son. I lost my mother. The presence of Jesus, that's great, Mike. But I need someone I can see. I need somebody that I can talk to, somebody that I can have dinner with. And I get that. I do. I understand that. But friends, that's level two loneliness. And we're going to deal with that in a moment. But what we need to realize is that in order to be able to deal with level two loneliness, we have to have already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to accept the presence of Christ into our life, because level two can't be dealt with until level one has already been fixed. And once Jesus comes into our life and level one is made whole, now we've got something to build level two on. And we know we can count on Jesus. We know He's never going to leave us. He promised us that. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so one of our biggest struggles is trying to jump right past level one and go to level two and say, I'll just fill my life with people. And if I fill my life with people, then I won't be lonely anymore. And if we're single, we say, you know what? All I need is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then I won't be lonely anymore. And of course, that doesn't work. And so we think, you know what? If only I had a spouse, then if I had a spouse, I would never feel lonely ever again. And then we get married and we discover we still feel lonely. So what do we think? We think, oh, there's something wrong with my marriage. Oh, there's something wrong with my relationship. Or sadly, you know what we usually say, oh, is there something wrong with my spouse? Because I feel lonely, so clearly my spouse isn't giving me what I need. So I know I'll go into the arms of somebody else's spouse, and that'll make me feel whole. And no, it won't. No, it won't. Because here's the thing, friends. People can't fill that void in our life. Even the most wonderful, beautiful, lovely spouse in the world cannot do that. That's beyond their power to do. Only God can do that. So to deal with loneliness, you need to constantly open your life to Jesus Christ and allow Him to be made whole. And when you open your life to Christ, when you allow Him to fill that void, to fix level one, then you're ready to take on level two loneliness. Because level two loneliness is real, right? Even if you have the most perfect relationship with Jesus Christ, now level one is fixed. But we are carnal beings. And that means we still long for a relationship with other human beings. And that's why Jesus gave us other human beings, right? God recognized that. We're going to look at this in a minute. That when God created Adam, Adam had a perfect relationship with God. Adam had never sinned. Adam never walked out on God. Their relationship was whole. Level one was perfect. But God recognized that Adam was still suffering from level two. And so God made someone for him to help with that. In other words, God recognizes that to totally dispel loneliness, we need a relationship with God, but we also need a relationship with other human beings. God looked down at Adam and said, you're one with me, but you're still hurting. And listen to what the Bible says. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who was just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. See, God knows that as human beings, we need physical companionship because God created us that way, right? God created us with one thing in mind. He wanted to have a relationship of love with us. That's the whole point. So he made us as beings who need love to be whole. That's just the way we're made, okay? So God created us as beings who need to be loved and who need to love. We need to be loved by God and love God. We need to be loved by other human beings and to love other human beings. Until we have both, we're always going to be lonely. And so God gives us this beautiful, glorious, wonderful gift called the church to help with our loneliness. The body of Christ on earth. The fellowship of believers who will be there for you, who will step into your world, into your loneliness, who will offer you fellowship, who will offer you relationship, who will offer you what you need to be able to deal with level two loneliness, okay? As the church, we need to understand this, and we need to be proactive about this, right? God looked down, and God saw that Adam was lonely. So God said, I need to do something about that. I'm going to enter in and give him what he needs. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, friends, you know what we need to do? We need to look out at the world, and we need to notice there's a lot of lonely people. And again, we're too proud to walk around and cry, I'm so lonesome I could cry. We're not going to do that. We're going to put on a brave face. But you know people who are horrendously lonely. I know you do. I know people who are horrendously lonely. So we need to be loving enough to reach out to them and to offer them our fellowship and to offer them the fellowship of the church. Because in the church, guess which level is dealt with? Both. We're working on our relationship with Christ, and we're working on our relationship with other people. And we come to a place where we're wanted. We come to a place where we're loved. We come to a place that is safe. And that's what all of us need. Friends, right now, Living Word is putting together a brand new visitation ministry. And this is what we're wanting to do. Is get a group of people who say, I want to reach out. I want to make a difference. I want to build a relationship with people who are lonely and who are hurting. And we just are getting this started. So if you're interested in this, come and see me. I'd love to tell you about it. I'd love to tell you. It manifests itself in so many ways. But it all comes down to this. We recognize other people's need for God and need for human companionship. And as the church, that's our job, is to offer them both. And so let us choose to look out into our world. Let us choose to look out to the people who are lonely and reach out in love to them. Because you know what? How do you feel when you're feeling so hurt and you're feeling so alone? And you're never going to wear your heart on your sleeve and let people know that. You know that. But what happens when someone chooses to come into your world? It's like the lights go on. It's like you can breathe again. And you see this person as a gift from God. And you know why you see them that way? Because they're a gift from God. Let us choose to be gifts from God for each other so that we can help each other deal with this fear called loneliness. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and Holy One, we give you praise and thanks for your love. We give you thanks for the fact that you are the God who initiates all relationships. You're the one who initiated a relationship with us. You're the one who reaches out to fix the relationship that we broke. You're the one who reaches out to nurture and to feed and to perfect the relationship that you offered with us. And for that, we just want to give you praise and thanks and to recognize it's not when we think we deserve it that we get your love. We've already received it in full. It's a choice you made before we were even born. And it's a choice that will never change. For you are a faithful God, loving and kind always. And so, Lord God, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will come upon every single human being right here. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit upon us, anoint us, fill us with your presence, so that anyone here who has not embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior can come to know the joy of Jesus, can come to know you through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just pray that you can help them come to know you. We pray that you will anoint us as your church to help all others come to know Jesus as a Savior. And then we pray that in addition to that, you can help us truly be there for each other. Presence is such a gift. It's your gift to us. And we are your arms. We are your flesh. We are your bones. So may we be your church. May we choose to reach out in your name to offer your presence, your love, your peace to all others. As we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And for his sake, we ask that you let it be done. Amen.